Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
So let me ask you something. How is your faith? How is your faith? That's a rhetorical question. Think about it. Is there something specific that right now you're actually believing God for? Think about it. Like maybe you need a better job, maybe a promotion. Maybe you're single and you want to get married, so you're believing God's going to bring the right spouse for you. What is it that you are believing God for? Right now, I'm believing God once again for healing. Maybe you're believing God for healing in your body or maybe your mind. What are you believing God for? What are you hoping and praying earnestly for right now? Is there something specific? Or maybe you're just living day to day, trying to make it through the next day. That's okay. I get that. Most of us are just grinding away, going day to day, doing our best to work, pay the bills, take care of our families. And sometimes we don't give it much thought to stepping out in faith and really believing and trusting God for something specific, for something more. I mean, some of us are just trying to hold on to what we already got, right? But what if I told you that believing for more is actually part of what it means to be a Christian? It is. It's called a faith walk. So asking and believing God for more is absolutely part of what it means to be a Christian. And today I want to stir up your faith. I want to stir it up and ask you to start believing for something big, something so big that only God can do it. Because he can. You know, many, many years ago, I was about 10 years old. I had an accident and I hurt my back really bad. I was a little 10-year-old kid. I'm telling you, me and my brother were feral. We really were. We used to do crazy stuff and I hurt my back so bad that I had to go to this osteo doctor, a 10-year-old kid, and get steroid shots in my spine, right? Well, you know, after a while, the pain went away and I was doing better. So I just went back to being wild, right? Wild child, doing this, doing that. I played competitive sports. Long story short, about 6 years ago, all of that caught up with me. And I started losing feeling in my legs. I started not being able to use my fingertips. And I had constant back pain, neck pain, and then these severe migraines started happening. I've never had migraines in my life before that, y'all. So all of these things were happening to me, and I went to a friend of ours who's like a chiropractor doctor, and right away he says, you need to go see a neurologist. And I was like, wait, what? And the neurologist told me, you need to go see a spine surgeon. And I'm like, hold up, wait a minute, I don't have time for all this mess. Our business was rocking and rolling, we were doing well, we had just planted this church. Like, there was stuff to be done here, I didn't have time for this. Well, sure enough, the surgeon tells me, you need to have surgery immediately or you're risking permanent paralysis. Like, this is a 911 situation. I don't even know how this hadn't messed with you yet. So for the first time in my life, y'all, I was truly afraid. And that's saying a lot because I don't really get afraid of things like that. And I was really afraid. And I think it was because I was actually in a situation where I could do absolutely nothing on my own to fix it. Totally out of control. And in a lot of pain. That's not a good combination, not for me. But anyway, here's one thing I know about God. He's the God of the impossible. It might have been impossible for me to figure out how this was all going to shake out, but God's the God of the impossible. That's where he does his best work. Yeah, amen to that, right? And it didn't matter what the doctors were saying. I knew in my heart of hearts that God has the final word. However it was going to work out, God was going to be in it. I knew that. So I prayed for miraculous healing. I didn't want to have surgery. I was like, I don't know that I want to do this surgery. Because, you know, the outcome wasn't guaranteed. And there were a lot of risks. So I was like, nope, I know you can heal this. We're not going to do the surgery, Lord. That's not what I want. So I prayed for a miracle healing. And you know what? even the morning of. And this was weird because it was during COVID, right? And Pastor Bob couldn't even go inside the hospital with me. He literally dropped me off at the front door, y'all, and said, see you in a little while. I mean, he didn't do that, but he sat in the parking lot for 5 hours and prayed for me, but he couldn't come in. So I was completely on my own, really had a lot of fear, trusting the Lord. However, even as I was in the holding area waiting to go back for surgery, I was like, okay, God, you can still come through. I know you can do this. You can still come through and make a miraculous healing, right? Well, guess what? 5 hours later, I'm waking up with a 6-inch cut in the back of my neck and pieces of my vertebra missing. He chose to do it another way. That's okay. The fact that I woke up, that was God. It could have gone a whole different way, and they had already warned us about that. That was God. The fact that I could walk right away, that was God. He didn't deliver the miracle the way I wanted it, but he still came through, y'all. He still came through. So let me ask you again, what are you believing God for today? If you brought your Bibles today, which I hope you did, you brought your paper Bible, open it up to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua is towards the first part of the Old Testament. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. So it's like a fifth or so book of the Old Testament, chapter 10. Now, this is a story of really great faith, but it's also the story of the God of the impossible. Joshua chapter 10. Are y'all there yet? Let's go. All right. This is what it says starting in verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel. Now, he did this in front of everybody. Everybody. He said, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself of its enemies. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There's never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you thought, there's no way I'm going to get out of this? Yeah, I know I'm not the only one up in here. I think we've all been in some situations where we're like, I just don't know how this is going to turn out. Maybe you're there right now. Maybe there's something you're going through and you are so overwhelmed by the circumstances, you can't see a way out of it. Or maybe you've been praying about something and it just doesn't look like anything's changing. Joshua found himself in a moment just like that. However, this is something I really want you to pay attention to. Before that battle ever occurred, God had made a promise to the Israelites. He made a promise to the Israelites. He told them a long time ago that he was going to give them a place called the Promised Land. It was going to be theirs, but they were going to have to take it. They weren't just going to roll in there and everybody was going to bounce out. No, they were going to have to take it, and it wasn't going to be easy. And see, that's the way it is sometimes. When God gives you a promise, that doesn't mean it's all just going to fall into your lap. Oh, I'm going to need somebody to say amen on that, because some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Just because God gives you a promise, it doesn't mean everything's just going to line up and it's going to be wonderful. No. There will be battles that you're going to have to face. In fact, walking in the purposes of the Lord actually puts you sometimes directly in the middle of a battle. In Joshua 10, Israel is surrounded by its enemies. Five kings had gathered their armies together. That's a lot of battle. That's a lot of soldiers. And this battle was intense. And the day was paced. They were burning daylight. Like we say in East Texas, they were burning daylight. They were losing time. And Joshua needed more time. So he prayed a bold, wild prayer. He commanded the sun to stand still. Now, I want you to go back. If you go back to Joshua chapter 1, it'll help us better understand why Joshua did that. Like, what? Like, that's some nerve right there. You're going to command the sun. God commands the wind and the rain and the sun. And Joshua said, I'm going to do it today. Sun, stand still. But see, Joshua knew. He already knew what God had told him after Moses died. He said, you are going to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And then God doubled down in Joshua 1:3, and he said, I'm going to give you every single place that you put your foot. That's what God said. So Joshua was remembering that, and he prayed, and he asked God for something wild, because I believe that he understood that when God is fighting for you, what seems impossible truly is possible. Yeah. When God is fighting for you, what seems impossible really is possible. And God really does care about you. In fact, God cares more about you than you care about you. Before Joshua ever prayed for the sun to stand still, God already knew what he needed. God cares about you more than you care about you. God already knew what Joshua needed, so God was gently reminding him of his original promise to the Israelites. This is what it says in Joshua 10:8. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. I have given, as if it had already happened. What are you believing for? God spoke before Joshua ever asked him for his help, y'all.
That's right.
And it's because God already knew what Joshua needed. He already knew. That is the heart of the God we serve, y'all.
Yeah.
Joshua saw a battle and he asked for help. God saw victory.
Right.
Yeah. Joshua saw enemies all around him. God saw his promise. He remembered his promise. Joshua saw limitations, obstacles, and problems. God saw possibilities. What I want you to know here is that you don't have to convince God to be worried about your situation, to care about your situation, to be concerned about what you're dealing with. And you don't have to approach prayer like you're trying to get God's attention. No. And don't try to beg him to intervene. You don't have to be begging God to intervene. Don't do that. Don't do that. Now, you know, you think about it. Sometimes you're like, oh, Lord, please, 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 God, oh, please, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I promise, please, please, please help me. You ain't got to do all that. That's not necessary, because God is always paying attention. Before you even speak a word, God already knows what you need, and he's already working in your situation. We can't fathom that because we don't think like God does. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways.
Amen.
Listen, Joshua wasn't fighting for God's attention. He was fighting from God's promises.
Say that again.
Oh, I'm going to say that again. Joshua wasn't fighting for God's attention. He was fighting from God's promises, from a place of victory.
Right. Amen.
Go in your battles like you already got it won when the Lord is with you.
Right.
You don't have to shrink back.
Right.
No. The Lord that flung the sun in the sky fights and goes before you. Get it in your heart. I want you to get that in your spirit. If you walk out of here today, you don't know nothing else, remember that. The Lord goes before you.
Amen.
And Joshua remembered God's promises, so he prayed that crazy prayer, y'all.
Yep.
Get it down in your spirit. You do not have to fight for God's attention, and you don't have to beg God to fulfill his promises towards you. No. All you have to do is fight the battle of whatever you're facing from God's promises, knowing that he will work it out somehow, some way, however it works out, but it's going to be for your good and his glory. God cares about your struggles. He cares about your problems. He cares about those things that keep you up at night. You know, those burdens you carry silently? God cares about those things. Psalm 138:8 says that God is concerned with the things that concern you.
Amen.
Know that. Matter of fact, that's a good memory verse. Psalm 138:8, God is concerned with the things that concern you.
Amen.
God cares about you. He cares about your family, your kids, your future, your dreams, your hopes, your fears, every single thing that concerns you, God cares about it. Remember, Matthew 6:32 says, God already knows what you need. So God sees, he knows, And God cares. When you're facing an impossible situation, instead of worrying about it, because you don't go two ways. You could shrink back in fear and worry and get all upset and get yourself all messed up in your stomach and start your hair start falling out. You could do that. Or you can declare out loud, I may not have control over this, but I know that God does. He sees me and he cares. And that would be a legitimate thing to do. And then you got to believe it. You got to believe it, man. And the next thing I want you to know is that God is doing more than you can even understand right now. Go back to the battle Joshua was leading. And I want you to imagine that you're one of those soldiers there that day fighting. You know, you're in the heat of the battle. It looks like you might win, but you need a little bit more time so you can just finish your enemy off. And then out of the blue, your commander hollers out, "Son, stand still." And it does. That's crazy, man. Can you imagine? No one had ever seen anything like that before. They couldn't even understand that that was even possible. But here's the thing about God. He does things big. He does big things, bigger than anyone could ever think, much less imagine. I mean, think about it. How do you explain a whole ocean splitting in half and people walking across on dry ground immediately when that was before there was water there and fish flopping around and it's dry ground? How do you explain that? That's a big God. You know, there's something that I left out about my surgery story, and it's really important. My dad had the exact same surgery that I did decades earlier. I was 16 when he had that surgery. And when he got out of the OR, y'all, he was paralyzed from the waist down. And he had his surgery in Houston with some of the finest orthopedic surgeons in the world. And he was paralyzed from the waist down. As a matter of fact, he had to move out of the hospital. He couldn't even come back home. They moved him into this, it's called the Texas Institute of Rehabilitation and Research. And it's a rehab facility. He lived there for 8 months. He was out of our home. My father was out of my home for 8 months, paralyzed in a wheelchair. He couldn't walk. He couldn't do anything from the waist down. And even after all of that, he eventually got some of the feeling back and he could walk again. But he never fully regained use of his fingers and use of his legs. And the rest of his life, he lived out in pain. Same issue, same surgery, but our stories are not the same. They are not the same. 6 weeks after my surgery, you know what I was doing? I was up in here pulling up carpet, painting walls, dragging wheelbarrows full of debris out here to the parking lot. We were renovating this space. Six weeks after my surgery, that's what I was doing. That's God. That is God, y'all. The pain was gone. No more headaches. That's a miracle. Didn't happen like I wanted, but I got my miracle. Because God specializes in miracles, but they're going to come his way and in his timing. Oh, settle that, y'all. Settle that in your spirit. You think God's not concerned about what's going on in your life? Yes, he is. He just may not do it like you think. But he sees. He cares. He specializes in the miraculous. You know, the Israelites thought that the miracle was in the sun standing still that day. And yeah, that was a miracle. But it didn't stop there. The miracle was God giving his people exactly what they needed to accomplish what he had called them to do. He just so happened that day to do it like Joshua had asked him to. You know, there will be times when God answers your prayer just the way you want him to. But more times than not, it ain't gonna happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. But God does answer prayers. And sometimes it'll be in ways that do not make sense to us. And you know why they don't make sense? Because we have a limited perspective, but not God. He doesn't have a limited perspective. We see one moment in time, and God sees the entire story. We see a problem, and God sees the purpose behind it. We see delay, and God sees that as preparation. Isaiah 46:10 says, God declares the end from the beginning, not the other way around. Did you catch that? God already knows how it's all going to work out. He sees the end before it even starts. That's a big God. That's an omniscient, omnipresent God.
Amen.
And omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God. You know, when things hit us out of the blue, we may be surprised. But God's not surprised. He's not over there saying, man, I didn't see that coming. Oh, God. Oh, me. Oh, wait. How does he say it? Does he say, oh, me or oh, God? He's not doing that anyway. It's not a surprise to him. He's not worried how it's all going to work out. No, no, no. God is never confused about your problem or your future. And he's never surprised by your circumstances. And he's certainly not scrambling to come up with a solution. He sees the end before the beginning. And you may be wondering, God, did you even see that? What am I going to do? When you're wondering that, God's already working. He's already working. There are things that are happening behind the scenes that you can't even see yet, y'all. You know, I remember years ago, I was working at the hospital. I had to have a hard conversation with one of the residents. And if you know anything about surgical residents, they're a little cocky. They're a little bit of attitude. And I was in charge of them, which is funny because I'm not even a doctor, but they were in my charge, right? And one of them had messed up some stuff, and I had to have a hard conversation with him. He had attitude. And my boss said, go talk to him. Get him right. I was like, okay. And I knew that was going to be a whole thing because, again, this doctor, this resident was very, he had a big ego, big old ego, a lot of attitude. And he used to talk down to me like that was wild how he talked down to me because I was the one signing off on his yeah, you passed. Anyway, I had to have a hard conversation with him. I didn't want to. And so I was like, Lord, can you just fix this? Because I know he's got connections. I don't want to deal with this. This is too much. I've got too much going on. And you know what? The day I had planned to sit down and talk with him, he got transferred to another surgical service. That was God. That was God, y'all. He did that. Problem solved. Thank you, Lord. Whatever you're facing, God's already in it. He's already there. You know, there are prayers that are being answered that you haven't even seen yet. He's already working it out. There are doors that God is opening that you didn't even know existed. You know, Joshua didn't understand everything that God was doing, but he trusted God because he knew that God understood. Sometimes when you don't understand why things are happening the way they are, you just got to declare out loud, I don't understand everything. I don't know what God is doing, but I know the God who is doing it, and I trust him. And that leads me to my last point. This is something you need to know about God, and it's his strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Right.
Think about that. God is bigger than any problem you're facing. He's greater than any mistake you've ever made. And when you are at your weakest moment, that's a good place to be because that's when God's strength can carry you through. You know, Joshua's prayer reveals something really important. Joshua knew he needed God. See, that's a heart of humility, y'all. That's a heart of surrender. Joshua knew he needed God. He was facing an enemy that was better equipped, stronger, outnumbered them, and the battle was bigger than they could ever win. And on top of that, Joshua knew these people were counting on him to lead them. And this is exactly the place God wanted him to be. Joshua was vulnerable, and yet he was humble. God often does his greatest work when we recognize our greatest need, and then we submit it to him. The miracle in Joshua chapter 10 is not about Joshua's strength. It's all about God's power. Joshua didn't stop the sun. He might have spoke something, but he didn't stop the sun. He didn't have the power to do that. God stopped the sun. God's in charge of the sun. Joshua didn't defeat the enemy through any kind of his own ability. God fought for Israel. The Bible says that. It says, surely the Lord is fighting for Israel. That's the message of the entire story, y'all. The victory belonged to God. Therefore, the battle was his. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. God's going to get the credit, so the fight belongs to him. You think it's your fight? No, give it to God. Let him fight it. He could fight it way better than any of us could, and the results will be way better. How many times have you felt like you couldn't solve whatever you were facing? Or maybe you felt, I got to solve this. I have to solve this. And you're over there striving and trying to figure it out and trying to come up. Me and Pastor Bob just did that the other day. We're sitting out in the yard and, well, you know, do it this way. And what about this? And we spent, I don't know, a couple hours talking about this problem. And then finally it's like, you know what? This is the Lord's deal. He's going to have to handle this. We all do it. We all have a problem. We face an obstacle and we start thinking, oh, I got to figure this out. Let me see how I can figure. Let me see if I can do this and do that. Da-da-da-da. We got to release that, y'all. We got to leave that at the foot of the cross, because while you're trying to fix it all, you might just miss an opportunity to experience God's transformation, strength, and power in your situation. And you might just miss an opportunity to grow in your faith and trust in Him. Look, here's the deal. God isn't looking for people who have it all together, who can figure it all out. First of all, He knows that doesn't exist. You know, we might not realize that doesn't exist, but God knows none of us have it all figured out. None of us. He's looking for people who will trust Him. That's what He wants. You know, there are all kinds of heroes in the Bible. Moses had a speech problem, y'all. God spoke through somebody else for Moses. David was the youngest son, and he was totally overlooked. They didn't bring him out. He was overlooked. Have you ever felt overlooked? Like nobody sees me. I'm standing right here. Gideon had anxiety issues. He was terrified. Even when God told him, I'm going to do this for you, Gideon was so afraid. And look at Paul. Paul persecuted Christians. Yet God used every single one of them because they leaned on His power in their weaknesses. The Apostle Paul had a profound issue. We don't even know what it was. But he asked God 3 times to take that away from him. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, this is what the Lord said. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Don't curse the problem or your inability to solve it. Your weakness is not the end of the story. No. It may be the very place that God wants to show His greatest strength in your life. Your limitation may become the place where God shows His limitless ability. Give Him a chance to work. You know, instead of focusing on what you can't do, what you're struggling with, say out loud, I may not be enough, but God is more than enough. So I trust Him to work this out. And then the next thing, take your hands off of it. Release it. Do what you can, but then get out of the way and let God do what you can't. Remember, He is the God of the impossible. That's a 2-letter prefix, M. That is the beginning of the word possible. When it is not possible, then God shows up and it becomes super possible. You know, Joshua faced an impossible situation. He needed more time. He needed more strength. He needed more than any human ability could provide. So God answered. The sun stood still. The enemy was defeated and faith was strengthened. Let me tell you what I mean by that. There's no way that all those men out there could even think about denying what God did that day, y'all. You don't think that increased their faith? You experience a miracle, your faith gets real big. And none of that happened because Joshua was powerful. No, it happened because God is faithful. You can play, Stephen. Today, whatever battle you're facing, you know, maybe you're struggling in your walk with God. Maybe, you know, you're trying not to do this, you're trying to do that, and you're just struggling. You just keep making the same mistakes. No matter how hard you're trying to change, but no matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to change. And give that to God. We can't change ourselves, not spiritually. I'm going to say that again. You cannot change yourself spiritually. That's something only God can do. That's something only God can do. That's His job. So trust Him and release that battle to Him. Whatever situation or struggle you're facing, just remember, God cares more about you than you care about you. The same God who fought for Joshua, he's fighting for you. God is doing more than you can understand right now. The God who controls the sun is still in control of your circumstances. You're not free falling, y'all. It's not a free fall. God's not going to let you do that. You may not understand why things are happening the way they are, but God sees the end from the beginning. Trust him. And don't go it alone. Don't try to fix things on your own. Lean on God, because his strength is made perfect in our weakness. The God who gave Joshua victory, he still works through ordinary people like us who are willing to trust him. You may be facing something that looks impossible. Something maybe you've been dealing with for a while and you're just tired of it. You're tired of the struggle. You don't have the energy to deal with it anymore. But you know what? The same God who made the sun stand still is the same God who can make a way when there seems to be no way. All you have to do, make your requests known to God, and then have faith and believe that God is fighting for you. Amen? Will you bow your heads? Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. It is truly sharper than a double-edged sword. Father, I pray that your word sinks down into our hearts today, Lord, into our spirits, and that our faith rises. Lord, I pray for big faith. I pray for faith that will move a mountain, Father. Your word says that we've all been given a measure of faith. So, Lord, I pray that we take the measure we've been given and we sow it into you, Lord, into the ground that you're already working on, Father. And I pray for miracles in this place. I pray for miracles here, Lord. I don't know what the needs are, but you do. I pray for reconciliation of relationships. I pray for walls of pride to be broken down. Lord, I pray for marriages that are struggling. I pray that you just till the ground of hard hearts, Father God, and help them relinquish what they're struggling with to you, Lord. I pray, God, for restoration, reconciliation, and Lord, hope. There's somebody here today, Father, I know that they're losing hope. They're giving up. Like, this is as good as it gets. Restore hope, Lord. Touch their heart and their mind. Remind them of just how big you are and just how much you love them and you care for them and that you are working things out. God, I pray for renewed faith, renewed hope, and I just pray that we are changed by the power of your word. We love you, Lord.